content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Anna Dean Silver from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Out in the Garden. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the Timber Press Guide to Vegetable Gardening in the Southeast by Ira Wallace. And we will start where we left off last week. And I'll just reread this. And this is what we started with, is gardening in February, sowing seeds indoors. And I'll start again where we had great garden gear. Garden shows and plant symposiums abound in February, and let us indulge in visions of the season to come. The largest garden shows come complete with real gardens and talks by garden experts on everything from container planting to the newest All-American Selections, AAS, winners. These shows are a great place to start to see firsthand many of the tools, planters, and garden gadgets advertised in catalogs and garden magazines. Take the opportunity to look and ask questions, but limit your purchases to fit your budget and garden size. Go to as many of the talks as you have time for. Both new and experienced gardeners can enjoy learning about novel approaches to traditional tasks. I remember first seeing Rime at a garden show and wondering if that funny stuff would work. Rime is a lightweight spun polyester row cover that lets through water and about 75% of light, while providing frost protection to 30 degrees Fahrenheit or lower, depending on the thickness. Nowadays, a wide array of spun polyester and polypropylene rose covers are mainstays of year-round organic food gardening. After a visit to a big garden show, you may feel like gardening is an expensive business. Don't despair. It doesn't have to be. You only need a few good tools to get started. And this is tips for stretching your garden budget. As an organic gardener, I always strive to reduce, reuse, and recycle in my garden, and I really like to save money whenever I can. For those of you with similar goals, here are some interesting options. Market bulletins. Many departments of agriculture publish old-fashioned market bulletins free online or just for the price of postage. These bulletins offer all sorts of strange and wonderful plants, bulbs, and seeds. The bulletins are also great places to find hay, manure, and other organic farm waste if you live in a rural area. Print versions cost $10 to $15 a year. Craigslist, that's craigslist.org, the go-to place online for free and inexpensive garden goodies for both city and country folk. Used tools, tomato cages, mulch, fencing, and plants are often advertised on Craigslist. Freecycle.org, a grassroots and entirely nonprofit movement of people who are giving and getting stuff for free in their own towns. It's all about reuse and keeping good things out of landfills. Each local group is moderated by local volunteers. Found, used, and repurposed materials. Junk art and homemade trellises can be a wonderful addition to your garden. From bamboo trellises and rubber tire planters to stepping stones made out of pieces of a broken concrete sidewalk or driveway. seed swaps, and community garden exchanges. Southern Gardens are neighborly and really like to share. Southern gardeners are neighborly and really like to share. Attending, or better yet, helping to organize a seed swap or community garden exchange is a great way to share your gardening excess, find new treasures in what might otherwise have been trash, and talk to neighbors about cooperating on bulk purchases such as compost. Such events are also a good place to begin organizing projects such as seasonal work parties and tool-sharing community co-ops. Plant a Row for the Hungry. This is one of the many projects in our communities working to combat hunger and reduce wasted food. Find a group who needs your extra seeds, plants, and garden supplies, and that can use your extra garden produce at harvest time. Keep the sharing going around. And now this section is my favorite tools for the garden. I like to save money, but cheap tools are no bargain. They break, dull quickly, rust, and have to be replaced, doubling the cost. My advice is to buy the best quality tools you can afford. Here are a few of the basic tools I like for my garden. A long-handled spade, fork, or shovel will be the first tool you need for digging a new garden. Stainless steel tools are long-lasting, easy to clean, and don't rust, but they're expensive. Tools made from carbon steel are a cost-effective alternative to stainless steel tools because they are sturdy, durable, and easy to sharpen. Tools with ash shafts and steel-strapped or forged sockets handle pressure and stress well. Choose the handle length to best fit the person who will be using the tool. I like a short-handled fork or spade. Some small women even prefer an edging spade or one specially designed for a woman's proportions. A strong metal garden rake is essential for smoothing beds and removing loose stones on top. An old-fashioned bamboo or metal fan-type rake is great for leaves and raking grass clippings. The new adjustable rakes are prone to break with heavy use, so they're not a good choice. I love hoes because a quick, timely hoeing at the right time when the weeds are still very small or just sprouting below the soil surface can save hours of back-breaking hand weeding later on. I indulge myself with hoes of several different types and sizes, but to begin with, one or two hoes will do nicely. You need a hoe to open the ground and cover seeds when planting, and also to cultivate the soil to keep down weeds. You can start with one general-purpose tool like the swan neck hoe, half moon hoe for both tasks, but I prefer to also have a shovel hoe just for weeding. It's a scuffle hoe just for weeding. It's a unique tool that easily slices through small and pre-emergent weeds just below the soil line. It's also called a stirrup hoe. Winged weeders, diamond hoes, and other variations on double-sided hoes are all good choices. You'll find hoeing weeds much easier if you keep a sharpening stone in the garden shed and give your hoe a sharp edge each time you begin and as often as every 15 minutes while hoeing. A good heavy-duty metal hand trowel will serve for most transplanting and hand-weeding tasks. I use the new iron fingernail tool to make quick work of close hand weeding that I can't do with my scuffle hoe, and have even started using it for most transplanting now that I have a long handle version. And I must admit, I bought a trowel that was not metal, and it broke within a couple months, so I had to go out and buy another metal one. So I learned my lesson from that. So these are some good tips to listen to, I think. I hated to buy it again, but there it was. Cheap is not always the best. Sturdy hand pruners, and especially, if I'll take a moment here, for gardening. Hopefully you'll be gardening for many years to come, and then all these tools will last for those many years. Back to the book. Here we have sturdy hand pruners with replaceable parts will last a lifetime if properly cared for and kept out of the rain. I prefer bypass style pruners because they make a cleaner cut. Longer handled pruners and loppers have better leverage for cutting large branches. Stakes and string are essential for marking rows in a larger garden and for locating plants more accurately in an intensively planted bed. For only a few dollars, a reliable soil thermometer will make deciding when to plant or transplant a much easier task. Find a bucket, basket, or bag to keep your tools together and organized. Add a few extras like twine, scissors, or snips, plant labels and markers, and laminated copies of your garden map and planting schedule. Now, just round up your garden hat, some sunscreen, garden gloves, comfy garden shoes that are easy on, easy off, and you are ready to hit the garden running. Choosing and planting bare root plants. Trees, strawberries, blueberries, cane fruit, and other perennials are sold as bare root plants for transplanting, but only during late winter and early spring. Bare root plants are dug while completely dormant and have the soil completely removed. They must be planted before they start to leaf out. In the Southeast, the bare root season is very short and often passes by before gardeners realize the great savings and increased selections available compared to container plants. Healthy bare root trees and vines, properly handled, get established quickly and grow faster. February is the perfect month to find them online and at local garden centers. Look for varieties well-suited to your location and climate. When buying online, choose reputable nurseries that cater to the Southeast. At local nurseries, look for plants that are truly dormant. No buds are open enough to show a leaf, with no damage to the roots, main stem, or branches. Look for strong, healthy stems and twigs that are firm and plump right out to the tip. Look for uniform branching and a good overall shape. Plant your transplant as soon as possible after you get it home. If you can't plant it right away, then heal it in a shady place. That is, you temporarily place the plant in a shallow hole with the roots on an angle and loosely covered with sawdust or light soil, making sure the roots are completely covered and kept moist, but not soggy, until you can plant. Before planting, trim any broken, dead, or damaged parts and soak the roots for 1 to 2 hours before planting. Only 15 to 20 minutes for strawberries and asparagus. While your plant is soaking, dig a hole twice as wide as the root ball and deep enough to keep the plant at the same level it was growing. Grafted trees have an obvious bulge that should be at least an inch above the ground. Make a small mound in the center of the hole to help you spread out the roots. Get a friend to help you place the plant so it's straight and at the right level, and then refill the hole with soil, patting it down to remove air pockets. Make a ring of soil about a foot in diameter around the trunk to form a shallow pan for water. Be sure not to mound soil up around the trunk. Water well and mulch with compost, wood chips, or hay. Stake if necessary to keep plants straight while their roots are getting established. This next section is season extension. Simple techniques like cold frames, low tunnels, and row covers let gardeners achieve remarkable results. It's amazing what a difference a little protection can make. Even in the sunny southeast, we have to give our garden extra protection to get the most from our long growing season. Variable February weather from 70 degrees high to 25 degrees Fahrenheit low means you have to be prepared for the worst to take advantage of the warmth. Fortunately, the periods of low temperatures are brief. Floating row covers, cold frames, low tunnels, and small hoop houses are all low-cost tools that protect plants from rapid temperature changes, high winds, or frozen precipitation. The simplest and easiest to use are floating row covers. These are lightweight spun or woven polyester or polypropylene fabrics that allow rain and sunlight to pass through while keeping out insects, reducing wind chill effects, and upping the temperature under the cover by up to 10 degrees Fahrenheit. Row cover comes in different thicknesses. The lighter weight covers can be draped directly over crops, even the youngest seedlings, and held down by stones, soil, or ground staples. Heavier weights of row cover provide more frost protection and can result in even earlier harvests when used on extra early tomatoes and cool season crops. But you won't get extra benefit during the warm season when plants don't need the extra heat. The heavier weight covers require support and cost more. A medium weight cover can be supported by hoops made from 9-gauge wire or plastic pipe bent and anchored on 2-foot pieces of rebar half-pounded into the edge of the planting bed. For squash and other plants that need insect pollinators, row cover needs to be removed or opened daily after flowering begins. A bonus is that with careful use and storage, row cover can be reused many times for season extension and insect pest control. Cold frames are simple structures for capturing the sun's heat and protecting plants from wind chill. They are easy to make from everyday materials and range from elegant, well-insulated permanent features in the garden to temporary structures for extending the harvest of cool season veggies and starting seedlings in the spring. We place straw bales around already prepared garden beds and cover the beds with used window or lightweight wooden plastic covered frames. Corrugated polycarbonate makes a lightweight, durable, and insulating cover for any type of cold frame. A nice thing about using straw bales is that when winter rolls around, you have mulch handy. Lightweight portable frames are available for sale from several sources. Or you can put together a low-tech wooden box and cover it with an old storm window for a lid. If the side pieces are thin wood, you might want to hammer in a 2-foot stakes every few feet, since it can be easily cut with a small saw. 1x2-inch lumber is ideal. Crops growing inside cold frames need little or no watering or other attention over the winter months. But keep a close eye on plants growing in cold frames during the fall and especially during the spring. They need even moisture and they'll have to vent the cold frame or warm days to prevent overheating. And now here's some skill sets. Here's building a low tunnel. Plastic hoop low tunnels warm the soil for early spring planting and protect frost-sensitive plants in spring and fall. A hoop tunnel provides the same benefits as a cold frame by insulating the plants inside and keeping frosts at bay. These tunnels are easy to make, and once you get the hang of it, you can make them in different sizes for different beds and different crops. Now here's what you'll need. And this is for a 3-foot by 10-foot tunnel. 5 6-foot lengths of 3/4-inch plastic pipe. 10 18 to 24 inch pieces of steel rebar for stakes. 1 piece of 3 to 6 millimeter thick plastic sheeting or polyester row cover, approximately 5 by 12 feet. UV resistant greenhouse plastic lasts longer than regular clear plastic. 12 garden clamps or clips or larger binder clips. Garden clips are available online or from some garden centers. Approximately 20 feet of scrap lumber or bamboo for weight down the sides, large rocks, bricks, or lumber pieces to weigh down the sides, steel or rubber. And then a steel or a rubber mallet. Now, here's the steps to making this tunnel. Start by adding soil amendments and preparing your bed for planting before constructing your low tunnel over the bed. You can also construct a tunnel over an already growing bed. Hammer a rebar stake in at each corner and every 2.5 feet along the 10-foot sides. Leave 10 to 12 inches of each stake above the ground. Starting at one corner, push a piece of pipe over the rebar stake, bend it into an arch, and work it down over the stake on the opposite side. Repeat for each pair of stakes. After all the hoops are in place, stretch the plastic or row cover material over the hoops. Bunch the covering together at one end, tie it with a rope or baling twine, and stake it to the ground at one end. Pull the covering fairly tightly over the frame and bunch and stake the other end. Secure the covering to the hoops and with garden clamps or clips. Make sure the covering completely covers the beds and plants. Wrap the sides of the covering around lengths of scrap lumber or bamboo to hold them down. Use rocks or bricks as necessary to protect from the wind. If you staple the edges to lengths of wood, it's easier to ventilate the low tunnel by rolling up the sides on warm days. It is best to construct your tunnel on a warm day because the plastic contracts when it is cold. Some gardeners in the southeast also like to make low tunnels with clear slitted plastic row cover placed over wire hoops to form small tunnels, creating a self-ventilating greenhouse environment to promote the extra early growth of heat-loving plants. And our next topic is going to be March and moving the garden outdoors. All over the South, people are taking to their potting branches and transplanting their best little seedlings into larger pots from the sprouting flats. In most areas, we're talking about cool season crops. In the lower South, gardeners are already potting on hot weather seedlings to get that first crop finished before it's too hot and dry. Wherever you are, this is the time to get a head start on what's next. The lengthening days, spring rains, and warming temperatures make for fast growth. So finish up your spring cleaning. Let's get planting for the season ahead. And that's to do in March. And it's for to do this month. We are plan, prepare, and maintain. Chit your seed potatoes in flats for 2 weeks with bright indirect light. Then cut and heal them for 3 days before planting. Side dress garlic and onions with compost, tea, or foliar feed. You are about to really start to grow. Order more seed potatoes for late planting and refrigerate them until June. Prepare your beds, add compost, till before the weeds get started. Cover with mulch or landscape fabric if you won't be planting anything soon. You'll be glad you did once the spring really gets going. Weeds and perennials, weed perennials and fertilize, generously mulch them now, and you won't have to weed so much later. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Anna Dean Silver, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Out in the Garden is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.